Jet.
Put Jamarcus King on his back and gave that chicken a ride.
He throws shoes.
Clark in a straight shot.
Oh, he didn't need to do that. He threw it away. King Pegues.
To the sideline, caught first down.
Woo! What a hit, Denzel Ward! You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
Well, there's Chase Hunter. 2 seconds. One launches a three. Good if it goes. It does. Chase Hunter, the three at the buzzer sends Clemson into the locker room up 10. 25.
A double pumper. That was a double pump shot.
That was another one from the band down by the river.
Now, let's go live to Faxon Childress and John Hight.
We welcome you in, everybody, to the Thursday edition of Facts on Sports with Faxon Childress and John Hight right here on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. Thursday, September 18th, 2025. We are glad to have you with us on The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in on the program today. Phone lines are open. Adams Coat Roofing text line will be open throughout the majority of the program as well. And we would love for you guys to check in with us. A little bit about what's on the docket today. We fully shifted gears to preview mode here on the program. We're going to be previewing upcoming games for this weekend. The deadline for our pick'em contest is a little bit later today, so we got to make sure we've got those picks submitted. Might give you guys a little bit of a sneak peek as to what John and I are thinking for the upcoming weekend. We got Thursday Night Football on the television tonight between the Dolphins and the Bills. I want to talk a little more NFL and kind of just take a step back in the world of the NFL as well and see where we're at after 2 weeks. We can do something similar for college football because we've had a lot of storylines that have been kind of dominated by the local news here in Tiger Town. So there's been a lot of great college football on the television, but a lot of great NFL football on the television. We're going to be breaking it down today. And then in the final hour of the program, you get your Clemson fix in once again with Grayson Mann from TigerNet joining the program for a double segment. So he'll be on for the majority of the final hour. We'll be previewing the Syracuse game, talking about how the Cuse Orange can potentially upset the Clemson Tigers this upcoming Saturday. They've got a prolific passing attack. They got a couple really good skill position players, but the defense is lacking. So we're expecting to see points on the board, and we'll be breaking that down with Grayson Mann a little bit later in the program today. John, are you as thrilled to watch Tua Tagovailoa on your television tonight as I am?
No, because I will be watching an American showdown between Rice and Charlotte at 7:30 on ESPN.
That actually is probably going to be the better game.
Those two teams will probably have a chance, and I would like to get Seminole Ted's opinion on this. Have the chance of putting up a better offense today than the Miami Dolphins do this evening?
Yes, I think that there is accuracy in that. And also, I did not realize until I was watching the UNC versus the UNCC game that former North Carolina quarterback Connor Harrell is QB1 at Charlotte. So definitely something interesting to monitor.
There's
there.
A lot of, do you remember this guy at this place on this team? So that is, but by the way, you need to call him Charlotte.
Charlotte. No, UNCC.
No, they get upset about that nowadays up there.
You know who also gets upset about that is Louisiana doesn't want to be called Lafayette anymore.
Very much so.
Yeah, because
very much so.
They're claiming that they're like the flagship university for the state of Louisiana, so they just want to go by Louisiana. And like, I did that Sun Belt Championship last year that they played in, and I had to be told the etiquette by like my boss and the play-by-play guy. And he was like, hey, they get really offended if you call them Lafayette after a couple years ago when they made the official switch. So I guess this is one of these situations. They don't want to live in the shadow of Big Bro necessarily.
Well, it's like folks in Blacksburg hate it when you call it VaTech. It's Tech or Virginia Tech. Like people in Greenville, North Carolina absolutely hate when you call it Eastern Carolina University because there's no Eastern in the school name. So, yeah, people have the right to. It's like when you see a recruit blessed to get an offer by University of Clemson.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, you just got, come on, man, that's not what it's called.
Yeah, that is most certainly fair. 654-ROAR, if you want to check in on the program today, we would love to have you on the phone lines at Adams Coat Roofing text line. A couple texters getting in early on the Clemson stuff saying Syracuse has absolutely no defense. They can't run the ball. Why should I be even a little bit worried about this weekend or interested in our game? Because Clemson's looked terrible in all three games.
I was about to say, because your team hasn't been very good. It's also my team hasn't been very good.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that, and I'm glad, I want to talk to Grayson about this in hour three. I'm glad some of the reporters last night talked to Coach Sweeney about are there going to be any shakeups amongst the starters in the secondary because as soft as they've been playing?
Yeah.
To use Coach Sweeney's words, I'm not, you know, this is not an original thought by me. He's the one who's been saying it all week. A soft secondary against the nation's leading passer is how you pull off an upset.
Yeah. And listen, when we saw Clemson's game plan last week against, and I'm hoping once again, I didn't necessarily agree with a ton of the game plan principles last week on the defensive side of the ball. But again, when you only give up 24 points in a game, you're anticipating to be able to win that game. I think Clemson's defense played well enough to win. I thought there were a couple things they could have done a little bit better against guys like Angeli with this, you know, kind of air raid tempo pace system. You really need to send some pressure at him and get some dogs in his face. And my big time key to this game, we'll go ahead and give a little bit of a spoiler in the first segment. Defensive line play for Clemson has to be better. TJ Parker and Peter Woods, this is going to be one of the prime opportunities to pin your ears back against a traditional type of pocket passer. And they really want to be able to get him in the 3 and 5 step drop back game. 3 and 11 should eat, and that should pave the way for everybody else on the defensive line to be able to put up some numbers. I don't know if that unit's played up to their potential yet this season. This seems like an advantageous matchup for them to do such.
To me, I don't really care who does it at this point in time.
Yeah.
Like, we've been waiting on 3. We've been waiting on 11 to beat the double team. Like, at this point, I'm cool with 13 or 19 or 45 or 90 or 15, whoever it wants to be. 1-2 team at home against this type of a passing attack. I mean, it's time to go. It's time to go to work here. You want to see it from 3 and 11, absolutely. But this time, I just want to see anybody on this defensive line get in the backfield and cause havoc.
Yeah,
because we've had 3 games where you were hoping it was going to be him, and I mean, it was non-existent last week.
You know who I would love to see get some increased playing time, some increased snaps? Amari Adams has really impressed me in limited action thus far. He's just got that innate ability and the nose for the football. That's the best way I know how to describe it, is he has a nose for the football. It feels like whenever you see 95 out there, I guess it was wearing purple last week, he's in plays, right? And if he's not making the play, he's adjacent to the play, or he's eating a double team, or he's pushing his guy into the pile to help him get a tackle.
Right.
He's just a winning player in my mind, and I'm really freaking excited Clemson got that kid, man. To have him for a couple more years here at D-line U and having him develop at DT under this great coaching staff on the defensive side of the ball, I think you're looking at a future NFL kid in Adams, so hoping he can continue to work his way more into the rotation as well as the season goes on. We know how it is with freshmen at Clemson specifically. You got to earn it, and you're going to have to earn your way onto the field for those that came before you at or more experienced players. So far, I think Amari Adams is continuing to earn it, and he's bought himself a little bit more of a stake in this rotation. So love to see that for 95. Couple texters getting in, 654-ROAR. Have we not been watching the same team as what Brooke the Mail Lady says? Yeah, I think that was about the earlier text on the Syracuse thing. And yeah, Texter gets in and says, when's the last time we saw 3 and 11 play up to their potential? I mean, 3 went stupid last year at Pittsburgh, if we want to just think of something off the top of my head.
So that was, if I'm wrong, there were 4 games after that, and we've now played. So that was 7 football games ago.
Yeah, and I will say, I'll give 11 a little bit of grace by saying this. 11 gets doubled a lot, and I thought 11 played well, and the tape checked out against Texas. And he was eating double teams in that matchup as well. I know Clemson couldn't defend the run. Again, I think we're seeing more this year. If we want to just take a step back from results and wins and losses, the run defense has improved vastly overnight with the coordinator change.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And absolutely.
I think that was more scheme and coaching related than it was player personnel related, as we've seen thus far this year. So 11 played really well against Texas. I thought 3 played pretty well against Texas as well. I just don't think Clemson had the coaching infrastructure on that side of the football last year to be able to stop the run at the level adequate needed to win a college football playoff game. And then this year, when I do think they have that infrastructure in place on the defensive side of the ball, the offense is off to a really, really rocky start through 3 games. So it's just been the inability to get on the same page and play complementary football. And if Clemson's able to do that and even play up to 80% of what their ceiling looks like, you're going to start blowing some people out really, really soon. You really just need 75 to 80% of capacity of what this roster is capable of on paper to truck the majority of your ACC schedule. But obviously, John, it goes without saying that comes with protecting the football. That comes with not turning the ball over in plus territory and massive swings and crucial junctures in games like you did against Georgia Tech and against LSU. So Clemson's got to play better. We've addressed that pretty extensively throughout the course of this week. And I really like the opportunity this upcoming weekend on Saturday to be able to just kind of hit the reset button offensively. You're going against a weaker opponent on the defensive side of the ball. And if there's one chance for this team to kind of flip the script offensively this season, I think that this is the opponent to do it against in the Syracuse Orange. So again, not guaranteeing anything. We don't know what's going to happen on Saturday, and the offense hasn't played well thus far, but just personnel v. personnel, I'm not sure the Tigers are going to get a better chance to quote-unquote get right offensively than this weekend.
I think that's the case. One thing that gives me a little bit of pause right now, I think you would agree with me that this defense right now is better against the run than the pass, at least a traditional run. I'm not talking about Haynes King through the A-gap.
Yeah, I agree.
Haven't been great against the pass, man.
You haven't.
And you're going up against a guy who's already thrown for 1,000 yards at this point of the season, 8 touchdowns already. Like, I have worry. I have my pause, man. I have my pause. It's why I took, go ahead and spoil this one, it's why I took Syracuse to cover the big number.
Hey, you took GT last week, and that paid off for you. They won the game.
Right. I feel like this is not going to be, right, boy, would I love to be wrong about this one. I just don't see this being a blowout. I think if this was a team that was predominantly run-centric and struggled in the past, with the talent level they have on defense, I think you have the chance. But with the way they throw the football, I think they're going to be alive in this thing.
Agreed. And I think they're going to, like, we use, take it back to next week when I'm breaking down the game, and or last week, rather, when I'm breaking down the game against Georgia Tech, and I'm using the words and the lingo, low possession, under 10 on the play clock, throw all that garbage out the window, because Syracuse is the complete inverse. Like, Syracuse could not have more of a different game plan offensively than what Georgia Tech was trying to do to Clemson last week. Georgia Tech literally wanted to touch the ball 4 times in the game. They're completely content if they touch the ball 4 times, because they trust that their personnel can execute on those 4 drives and they can get one stop and beat you by 3. They want to play low possession games against upper echelon competition. They want to manage time of possession. They want to control the ball because they trust their playmakers to make plays in those limited low possession games. Well, Syracuse is the complete inverse. They want to go, go, go. They're going to be up at the line of scrimmage and snapping the ball within 10 seconds sometimes. So Clemson's not going to have the availability to sub personnel. Clemson's not going to have the ability to necessarily be able to get aligned to their fullest extent on every single in and out down. And that's the whole goal of the Syracuse offense when they're hurrying you up and getting to the line and playing with tempo. So I'm actually really just excited more than anything to play a team like Syracuse that has such a drastically different identity than Georgia Tech, because I think Clemson getting all those flavors of different sort of schemes and different sort of offenses on tape early in the season, it's going to create more coachable moments for Tom Allen as you progress further and further into the season, right? Because who do you have later on your schedule, John? Florida State. And we know Gus Bus wants to run it. But on that same tangent, you got a team like South Carolina at the very end of your schedule that you know wants to run it and wants to be run-centric with their quarterback in a very similar fashion to what Georgia Tech did. So I think there's parallels to draw later on Clemson's schedule with both Georgia Tech and Syracuse. And I think this is a really good learning experience for this defense this weekend. And I hope they can hold their own, because guess what? Like you said, Steve Angeli leads the country in passing. He's a guy that's more than capable of beating you through the air with a lot of those frisbee catching dogs he's got on the outside, and one of the best tight ends in the country to accompany those guys. Like, this is a good football team in Syracuse. They lost a lot of production, but Fran Brown won 10 games last year in year one, and it wasn't a fluke. So I think Clemson's in for a fight this weekend, and I haven't decided where I'm going on the spread with Clemson or Syracuse, because I think it might end up right around that line, to be honest with you. But
I've also just been burned too many times in this matchup thinking Clemson is going to completely rout Syracuse, and we're all just having our stomachs churn in the fourth quarter.
Oh my gosh, I can still see the rotation between Zarek Cooper and Hunter Johnson flip-flopping in and out. They should have just rolled with Zarek in 2017, man. That was my guy. Love me some Zarek Cooper. But in all seriousness, it does feel like this is kind of a bogey matchup for Clemson, for lack of a better term, where it's just one of those opponents that always plays you tough. Everybody's got their favorite teams at home. Everybody knows there's that one team in whatever sport you may support your team in where it's just like, ugh, They're not great, but like this team always plays as tough. Syracuse is one of those teams for Clemson, so I'm expecting their best shot this upcoming weekend. We'll talk a little more Clemson football and branch out to college football and more on the other side of a quick break. Keep jam-packing the text lines at 654-ROAR. We'll get to those right after this.
If you are a business owner, the integrity of your roof is probably the last thing on your mind. Adams & Co. Roofing Specialists are here to alleviate that burden with a free, no-obligation roof inspection for your business. Their team checks your roof for leaks, draining issues, missing shingles, storm damage to avoid costly issues in the future. Call Adams & Co. today for all of your commercial roofing needs at 864-260-0080. That's 260-0080.
Only minutes from the interstate at Exit 1, inviting golfers from Oconee, Anderson, Pickens, and Greenville counties, as well as nearby Atlanta, Chickasaw Point and Overlook Restaurant await you. Chickasaw Point Golf is a hills course, and Overlook Restaurant is a beautiful event venue. Available to host meetings, weddings, anniversaries, and birthdays, a natural, beautiful trip through nature the way golf was meant to be. Discover what others have, the great golfing you'll find at Chickasaw Point.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber.
Anyone know a good plumber? It's an emergency.
One Tom Plumber will be there in an hour, or they'll discount your bill.
In 1 hour?
Yeah, just dial the number one, then Tom Plumber.
That's their name.
That's their number.
Call the plumber whose name is his number.
A scholarship doesn't just pay for school.
When I first started out, I'd be around the baseball field all day, just watching the guys' feet, like how they're moving, how they're breaking out of the clay. Turfgrass management is not just cutting grass. There's so much more to it.
It turns passion into purpose.
The South Carolina Education Lottery definitely allowed me to find myself again, to get an education, eventually starting my organization. I got legs.
Adam and Greg are two of over 750,000 Life Scholars giving back for a better South Carolina. Visit seeducationlottery.com/betteryou.
Tiger fans, it's football time with fall almost here. Whether it's gearing up for game day, getting a jump on new fall styles, or taking advantage of summer closeouts up to 75% off, Elkmont is where you need to be. With great brands like On Clouds, Birkenstocks, Patagonia, Fiori, Z Supply, Back 70, Columbia, and more. Elkmont is located in Powdersville on Highway 153 and Clemson across from Bojangles, or online at ElkmontTradingCompany.com. That's ElkMont TradingCompany.com. Go Tigers!
Behind these doors lies an incurable disease. Your off-road parts and accessories. We'll customize your four-wheel drive. Clemson Four-Wheel Center. Clemson Four-Wheel Center.
Fall weather offers a great opportunity to get creative in your kitchen and your backyard when preparing meals for family, friends, and neighbors. And nothing makes your creativity more enjoyable than the selection of ingredients you'll find at your neighborhood Ingles Market. From hand-cut steaks to fresh seafood, locally grown fruits and vegetables from right here in the Carolinas. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, or a weekend cookout, rely on your local Ingles to have what you need. If you're traveling or heading to the mountains, use your Ingles Advantage card to save on fuel purchases before you hit the road. Shop your Ingles Pharmacy to save on prescriptions. If you're having a family get-together or reunion, have the Ingles Deli create a custom platter just for you. The Ingles Floral Department has beautiful arrangements to accent your home and your table. Take it from me. You'll find everything you need at your local Ingles. Low prices. Love the savings.
Book your next party at Carson Steakhouse in Anderson with a large private dining room to suit all of life's celebrations, corporate and social group events. Host a family or school reunion to remember. Book your reservation and they handle the rest. Double fried chicken wings, fresh baked yeast rolls, hand cut steaks, grilled teriyaki salmon, and fresh strawberry shortcake, just to name a few delicious menu items. Make your reservation today. Call 226-9400. Again, that's 226-9400. Carson Steakhouse. House Anderson.
Break out the bell bottoms and fire up the disco ball. Staying Alive is back at the Walhalla Performing Arts Center October 3rd and 4th. meets the ultimate Bee Gees tribute. Bringing the groove, the glitter, and all the hits you love. From Jive Talking to Staying Alive, this high-energy show will have you boogieing all night long. Don't miss your chance to relive the golden age of disco. Get your tickets now at WalhallaPAC.com.
If you're 55 or older and into that whole saving money thing, T-Mobile has an exclusive phone and internet bundle just for you. Right now, get two unlimited phone lines plus 5G home internet for just $30 each per month with autopay, plus taxes and fees. And with 5G home internet, setup is easy with just one cord and no technician needed, which is great if you're also into that whole keeping it simple thing. Switch now and experience the best mobile network in the U.S. Visit your local store to start saving. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, Q4 2024 to Q1 2025, Ookla trademarks used under license. Unlimited on our network. Customers on voice plan may notice speeds lower than other customers and further reduction if using more than 50 gigs a month due to data prioritization. Video streams and SD on this plan. Home internet pricing after $20 a monthly bill credit plus $5 per line without autopay. Debit or bank account required. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
With all the changes going on in college athletics, you need someone who can keep you up to speed. And that's where we come in.
How do you think it went? I got him on the 1 yard line.
English, please. You know, I don't know baseball.
We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Welcome you back in, everybody. Hour number one of the program continues here on a Thursday with Faxon and John on the Roar. If you're looking for a tractor that works as hard as you do, Mahindra of Anderson's the spot. It's your local source for the toughest, most reliable tractors on the market. Whether you're working the farm, maintaining your property, or need heavy-duty power, Mahindra has the perfect tractor, UTV, implement, or trailer for the job. Buy it new, shop pre-owned, schedule your service appointment, or order parts with the best customer service in the upstate. Visit Mahindra of Anderson at 507 Pierman Dairy Road or online at MahindraOfAnderson.com. Continuing with some college football talk right here on the Roar. 654 Roar is the number if you'd like to check in. Ton of text to get to on the Adams Code Roofing text line. Peanut says, is it possible to be optimistic about this team turning things around, but at the same time, I'm dreading Saturday? I understand. I understand that, for sure. And it is what it is. I get it. I'm optimistic that they're going to turn it around too, but I also, again, understand wholeheartedly why people are frustrated right now, as they should be.
Well, you know, I understand the hesitancy, and I mean, I have some as well, don't get me wrong, but I mean, this is a Syracuse attack that's, they're coming for you. Now, on the other side of the ball, that defense, whew, is the worst defense you were going to have to go against until you play Furman, and I mean no disrespect to Furman. But North Carolina, Boston College, SMU, Duke, Florida State, Louisville, and South Carolina all have better defensive units than Syracuse.
Yeah.
You were at home. This is the time to get things going here. I tell you, I don't love the spread number, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Like in the contest, it's a big number. It worries me. I tell you what, if I was in someone who wanted to find a gambling angle on this game, I would very much probably lean more towards the over.
Yeah.
It's 55.5 right now. I think points are going to be scored by both teams. I think it's a close game. Because I think both offenses are going to find some success here. I think that, you know, Clemson, this is a chance. We have seen more of a commitment to the run each week since LSU. I think we definitely saw a commitment to the run last week with the way that we ran Cade and Adam Randall. It was 17 carries for Cade, 15 for Adam. I think you see something similar here. I don't love the secondary for Syracuse. I think this is a chance for Bryant Wesco, hopefully TJ Moore, Tyler Brown, maybe even some of the tight ends to find some space, create some separation, and be able to make some plays. But on the inverse, reason why I like the over is going by Coach Sweeney's comments this week with the secondary being soft against this passing attack. You know, Jonte Cook can run right past Avion Terrell on a fade route and get into the end zone. He can fly.
They got weapons, man.
Yes, like, they have playmakers. They are very different. You know, Trey Burpena is now over at Penn State. But they've got some guys they really like. They really like. I mean, Darryl Gill Jr. right now already has just about 300 yards and two touchdowns on the year.
Three games. His average depth of target is 20.4 yards down the field. Think about that. Like, when you see that guy, they're trying to take the top off and they're trying to score a touchdown on you.
Correct. I mean, they're starting three. You're getting 9 yards an attempt, 11 yards an attempt, and 20.5 yards an attempt on your top three guys.
Yep.
They can play.
They can play.
Like, it's why I agree with Coach Sweeney challenging his secondary so much publicly this week. They got to bring it.
They do.
They got to bring it. Or all this talk of the get right and, you know, flipping the switch and turning the corner and this new, you know, new lease on life for Clemson in this season. All that will go out the window if the secondary doesn't lock in.
Yeah, secondary has to lock in. Coach Ralph Patterson gets in on the personal text line, says an old coach once said, there's no reason to be optimistic. I feel you, brother. I feel you. It feels like that right now. But I will say, I think the Tigers are going to have a turning point at some point. I don't know if it's going to be this weekend. I do think logic would, and as John said, logic would lead you to believe that if there's a breakout coming for the offense, it would be against the worst defense you have on your schedule until Furman. But, you know, logic doesn't always apply, and Tigers got to go out there and earn it. Something I wouldn't say I'm necessarily worried about, but a matchup I'm expecting the Syracuse Orange to test very, very early in this football game. The favorite target for quarterback Steve Angeli is tight end Dan Villari. And Villari is one of those guys that just has the innate ability to always inexplicably be open over the middle of the field, eight yards away.
He's a chain mover.
He's a chain mover. He's 8 to 15 yards, 7 to 15 yards in that range, over the middle. They like to use him up the seam. He's got super sturdy hands. He's a guy that's got a little bit of yak ability to him as well. He's got 16 grabs on 19 targets this year. He actually leads this team in receptions, and he's got 199 yards with it, which is second on the team as well. So between him, Gill Jr., Justice Ross Simmons, who's a big body receiver that's more of a go-up-and-get-it type of guy, if you will, he is dealing with a little bit of a finger injury right now that he suffered against Colgate, but he's anticipated to play. And then you throw another burner into the fray like Cook, John. It's not hard to see why this team puts up numbers offensively. This team can go. Now, if we do have to assess weaknesses on this Syracuse offense, they arguably have the worst running attack in the ACC. And a large part of that is the loss of LaQuint Allen to the National Football League, who was really this team's identity on the ground the last, 5 years it felt like he was in school up at Syracuse?
It's been a while, yeah.
So, Yasin Willis is the RB1. He's been dealing with injury issues. They've got Will Nixon behind him, who's got 30 attempts for 121 yards and one touchdown on the season. And just to be frank, there hasn't been a point in this season where the running attack has really gotten going for Syracuse. So, you're going to see a one-dimensional offense to a certain extent. And then again, on the offensive line, they've got experience. They've got a unit that's pretty good in pass blocking, but run blocking has been a big-time struggle as well, which, again, coincides with the fact that your running back has taken a step back. There's not a lot of lanes. There's not as talented players as you're used to having in that backfield. So you're going to see this Clemson secondary tested, John, and I think that's the best way to describe it that you said was that word tested. They're not afraid of Clemson's corners. They're not afraid of Clemson's safeties. Syracuse has an identity that they're comfortable in a very similar fashion to Georgia Tech, even though it's the complete opposite schematically. They want to go, 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 and they want to air raid, and they want to spread things out with four wide receivers and let Angeli make quick reads and get the ball out on time and on target. So I'm excited to see how Clemson's defense rises to the occasion. I'm excited for the test, and I think this is something that can benefit the Tigers long term. Texter gets in and says, sounds like Antonio won't play again, question mark. Don't know where you're getting that information, but no, that's not the case, 277. I think there's a non-zero chance Antonio Williams plays this weekend against Syracuse. And if he doesn't play this weekend against Syracuse, I'd anticipate him back into the fray after the bye week. So I wouldn't bank on Antonio not playing again. I think he could play as soon as this Saturday, but again, waiting for confirmation on that. Texter says, you think Syracuse has better offense than LSU? It's just different. Like, we don't have extended sample sizes, and we don't have a common opponent. And then Garrett Nussmeier has been dealing with a torso injury, and they've been trying to figure out what their identity is on that side of the ball, with trying to kind of protect him from getting hit. So they've been chipping a lot more, and they've been trying to move the pocket so he doesn't have to take hits. So check back in with me in 3 weeks, and we can have that conversation. But as of right now, like, Syracuse's offense is better statistically, but I would take the skill position players at LSU 10 times out of 10, and especially their back and their offensive line in Durham, and those guys up front that have performed very admirably, comparatively speaking to what the expectations were for the LSU O-line in the preseason. All right, let's talk a little bit of defensive side of the ball, John. 6'5", 4 roar. What does Clemson's offense need to do to get the monkey off their back this weekend? Like, you need to see a couple go through the hoop. Obviously, it goes without saying that these early drives are important. Clemson's been atrocious in first halves offensively throughout the course of this season. They've actually been pretty good statistically in the majority of second halves. Obviously, LSU was not a great go of it, but Troy and Georgia Tech, they looked pretty good offensively in the second half. What does Clemson need to do to set the tone offensively in this game?
Yeah, I said it on yesterday's show. I think there's two keys to this game. If you can do these two things, I think you will have the chance to cover the number and we'll have the feel-good day in Death Valley that we are all searching for. Success on first down, win the turnover margin. I think you do those two things, man. Like, there's so many times this season where the offense falls into a rut when it's second and 10, then it's third and 8. Like, it'd be much better, as we saw last week with Georgia Tech, was getting 6 yards a clip on every first down run in the second half of that game, how much easier it made life for Buster Faulkner.
Yep.
Run the football, find some success on first down, and so you have to leave the defense guessing on second and third. But when you don't get anything going on first down, and then you're having to go second and long, and then third and medium, if not third and long again, you're not going to be able to sustain success. Like, you've talked a good bit this morning about the tempo that Syracuse wants to have.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm Clemson, man, I know we talk about keeping Cade, like he goes better with some tempo and going really, really fast. And I'm not saying you need to go at a snail's pace. I'd slow it a little bit. Make Angeli sit there on the sideline.
Take a deep breath.
Extend some drives. Like, let's try to get time of possession over 30 minutes in this game. I think that's a huge goal for this team, to win the time of possession battle.
Yeah.
Because you haven't been able to yet this season. You haven't been able to keep drives going. Not every drive needs to result in a touchdown or a field goal.
Agree with that.
But what I need to do is I need to get some first downs, take some time off of the clock, so if you do punt it, you're punting it, you know, you're trying to pin them back. Don't give them good field position. Hold on to the football from a time of possession and turnover standpoint. And I think if you do those things, the passing game will open up. Cade will find some success, his confidence will grow, and I think you'll have the offensive day you want to have against a defense that should be fairly favorable to you. But if you keep putting the ball on the ground and running into an offensive lineman on first down or not knowing your blocking assignments, so therefore there's just a free linebacker coming into the backfield and blowing the play up dead before it gets going, not going to have a very good time.
Yeah. I went back to last year's Syracuse schedule just out of curiosity, and something what I always kind of like to do, and I know it's a different roster, but I do like to look at whether coaches are consistently in close games or not. Like, to kind of project forward, like, do I expect this to be competitive? So, last year, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of the 12 games that Syracuse played were one-score games. And only one of their losses came by more than one score. They took the belt to Pitt on the road on October 24th, which was a weird little Thursday night matchup. Their other two losses
I'm still mad at that game.
Yeah, so am I. Because McCord threw, what was it, 3 pick sixes in the first half?
We watched
this one together.
We were at a remote at Wash and Go in Anderson, which, by the way, we've been trying to reach you guys at Wash and Go. 654-ROAR if you want to get in. We'd love to come back next month Tigers for Tatas. I know you texted in last week. We've been trying to make that connection, so please get back in. But we went to a local watering hole in Anderson to watch that game. It took us 30 minutes to go from the end of the remote to our butts in the seats, and McCord threw like 4 interceptions in a half hour. It was insane.
Yes.
Still mad about that game.
Yes, absolutely. I'm still mad about that game, too, because
thank you for reminding me about that.
I had forgotten how just, like, McCord throws 3 pick sixes in a 5-interception horror show for Syracuse is what the headline
is. See, Florida, it can be worse. Not all 5 interceptions went to the end zone.
That's true. That is true. But, yeah, so they played in a lot of competitive games last year, and obviously Tennessee roughed them up a little bit, but Syracuse still held their own offensively, and they were able to score some points in that one. So I'm anticipating Fran's guys to come in here and compete. And these guys are going to play hard. They've got seniors. They've got veterans. They've got leadership up and down the roster. And this is not a team or a program that's going to be scared of the bright lights of Death Valley. They're going to come in with the expectation to compete, and they're going to try and give themselves a chance to win. So Clemson needs to match that intensity level from the minute the game starts.
On the other side of this break, can I propose something?
Propose something.
And I cannot believe that I'm going to be the one to do this.
Yes.
But after the week that we have had, the shows that we have had, When we come back from the break, can we talk about the Atlanta Braves?
Is that because we got Ted on the phone lines?
It's a nice coincidence, but I just feel like this team that whose games we do carry.
We do.
Not as much as time of year, but we are an affiliate of the Atlanta Braves, and I feel like we would do the Braves fans some justice, and I feel like we need to talk about this team.
We'll give you guys a little mini Braves segment on the other side, because Matt Olson, I don't even know what to say right now. I mean, that guy can
compose
do no
yourself
long.
Over to the break, and then you can lay it all out on the other side.
He's walking out of bed, and his sheets are catching on fire because he's on a scorched earth heater. So we'll give some stats. We'll talk to Ted. I'm sure he wants to talk a little Dolphins Thursday night football as well. And we'll bounce through a couple topics right after this here with Faxon and John on the Roar.
Nobody does dual enrollment like Tri-County Technical College. It's never too early for you and your child to think about college. The dual enrollment program at TCTC offers the opportunity to take two or more dual enrollment classes, and it's a cost-effective way to earn college credit. Your student can get a jump start on college, saving time and money. You and your child have options, so why not discover what dual enrollment at Tri-County can do for you? Find out more at tctc.edu/DE.
On Saturday, the Clemson Tigers will host the Syracuse Orange, and we've got you covered all day long right here on The Roar. Starting at 6 a.m. live at Burton Gallery inside Little John Coliseum, we've got the Ingles Tiger pregame show. Then at 9 a.m., it'll be the Tiger tailgate show with Faxon Childress and his crew. At noon, Don, Tim, and Reggie will have the call of the game, and Dono, Clark, and I will take you home with the fifth quarter show. We are the flagship station for Clemson Athletics. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
It's official, Jazz on the Alley, every Thursday night, right here in downtown Seneca. It's a lot of fun. It's absolutely free. It's outside dining and great music. We get started early at 5:30 with a happy hour. Here's a few sounds of some of these fabulous artists. And we get ready for a great show, 7 till 9, with the main acts. We got some great lineups for you right here. Here's just a few of the artists. Change, change, change. Yeah, you and your friends, along with 3,000 of your closest friends, will be here every Thursday night, right here on Ramcat Alley in Townville Street. It's Jazz on the Alley, voted best event of the year. Come on out, bring your chairs just in case you need them, and have fun. And every Thursday, we'll see you for a little jazz.
All right, are you tired of your dusty, cracked, and stained garage floor? Do what all your neighbors are doing and have it coated. But please, do yourself a favor and don't hire just anybody who says that they do floor coatings. You'll regret it. I'm Jake Wilson, owner of Iron Drive Floor Coatings. We've been the premier concrete coating company in the upstate since 2011. We take pride in doing things the right way, with quality employees, equipment, and materials. You get the very best with Iron Drive. Visit our website today for a free quote at irondrivegaragefloors.com.
At Koala Insulation of Greenville, we specialize in spray foam, blown-in, bat insulation, attic ventilation and air sealing, and crawl space insulation and encapsulations. Triple your savings with Koala Insulation of Greenville. Lower your energy bills by 20% on average. Get up to $1,050 in rebates from Duke Energy and get up to $1,200 in federal tax credits through December 31st. Call today, 864-867-1779, and find out what you can save.
Straight Up Sports is simply all sports all the time. Straight Up Sports is a collection of retired and award-winning sports writers and sports broadcasters from around South Carolina.
Like Bob Gillespie from the State Newspaper.
Scott Kiefer from the Greenville News.
And Mark Sturges from ESPN Upstate.
Straight Up Sports is about the stories.
Just like the days gone by with no editors nor managers involved.
Check us out on Facebook or Twitter or online at straightupsports.net.
Hey, it's Walt. Forget the 12-hour drive to Buffalo. Moretti's Pizzeria and Bar in Walden is serving the real deal. Stone oven pizza, thicker than New York City. Never doughy, just that perfect crust. The wings, crispy, juicy, and loaded with that buttery, spicy buffalo kick. And if you've never had one, order the legendary beef on weck. You'll thank me later. Moretti's, just off I-385 on East Butler Road in Walden. Moretti's, where everyone's a regular.
Are low T and ED ruining your life? Low Country Mail is your solution to getting that alpha feeling back, sitting on the couch, Not acceptable. We're going to get you back in the gym and get you back in the game of life. Come on down to Low Country Male today. Get your testosterone checked and start a personalized concierge TRT plan. Plans include testosterone, lab work, annual physicals, doctor visits, and much more. Book at one of our 8 locations. Low Country Male, making men men again since 2016. LowCountryMale.com.
East Main Furniture in Easley, where every day is a sale day. Come find deals on living room, bedroom, dining room, lamps, rugs, mattresses, and occasional furniture. Brand names like Lazy Boy, England Best, Ashley, Catnapper, Liberty Furniture, and Vaughn Bassett, all at discounted prices. If we don't stock it, we can special order it for you. With 90 days same as cash on purchases over $300, we make it easy. East Main Furniture, located at 829 East Main Street, Easley, or call 864-4426-054 today.
Don't wait for your HVAC to break down. Keep it running strong with a maintenance plan from Estes Heating and Air. Their expert technicians make sure your system is running efficiently year-round, helping you avoid surprise repairs and high energy bills. With priority service and peace of mind, it's comfort you can count on. Call Estes Heating and Air today or visit estesheatingair.com to schedule your maintenance check today. Estes Heating and Air, your comfort is their priority.
Your family will delight in their locally sourced beef and other foods from A&PM Farms. Their beef is raised naturally with no hormones or vaccines, making its way from the pasture to their stores. Along with vendor and farm products from 70 vendors, they offer the very best in local food choices. Platt and Ashley Moore and their team invite you to A&PM Farms, 1907 Lawrence Road in Greenville, and next to Farmhouse Tacos in Traveler's Rest. Online at ampmfarmsbutcheryandmarket.com.
The only place for sports talk of the upstate is right here, every day. We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hite continues right here on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. Our guy Nick Costello, who you can hear every Friday night for our high school football programming. He's helping run the board right now, so John's showing him the ropes. Nick's doing a great job with his internship here at The Roar. We appreciate you, Nick. Keep killing it. 654 Roar if you want to check in. We're going to talk a little Atlanta Braves here, and then we'll shift gears to some NFL, some more college football. But I want to take some old Ted's phone call, because Ted's been tweeting at me pretty much every night. I think we might be the only two people on planet Earth that are still watching this team on a consistent basis. So on that note, let's bring in Seminole Ted. Ted, I mean, better late than never, I guess. The Braves are kind of heating up right now, and Matt Olson's playing some great baseball.
Well, you know, and it wasn't just against Washington. You know, two of those home runs he put up against the Cubs.
Yep.
You know, and the way I look at this team right now is everybody on that team is playing for next season. They are playing to try to get a roster spot next year, or to be that next man up when somebody like an Austin Riley gets hurt. Really been satisfied with the way the Braves have been playing as of late. You know, yeah, we had that 18-run game a couple weeks back, and, you know, it's awful to watch that on the scoreboard, but when you see somebody like Matt Olson, who is not mailing it in, who's just getting out there and grinding and finding a groove and trying to motivate everybody, I'm looking for him more than anything to take steps in that dugout next season to be the man that everybody else in that team rallies around in the dugout. Not the coach, but the player's coach, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because that's what you have with Freddie Freeman. You had a man that had control of that dugout. Even though him and Acuna rubbed hairs every now and then, that was the man that everybody looked to in that dugout, and it's usually a catcher or a first baseman who does that. And, you know, I felt like with Travis d'Arnaud not being with the team, he filled that void after Freeman left. But without having Travis d'Arnaud there, I don't see Sean Murphy taking that step. But watching Matt Olson, man, as much as I love Freddie Freeman, we get 5 more years of just a good a player.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, we get a 5-year younger version of him, and I'll ride it as long as they'll have him there. You know, the one downside is, as we know, Anthopoulos doesn't like to give long-term contracts at the end of the career. And that's not a bad way of doing business.
It's not.
It hurts the fans' feelings when a lifelong player, you know, a career player leaves to go to somewhere like a New York or a Los Angeles. But at the end of the day, you know, what are they going to get those last 4 years out of that player? Are they going to get top-tier play? Most of the time, it's no. So why should you pay them for that top-tier play? But, yeah, that's my thoughts on it. I'm just looking forward to the end of the season and seeing how we finish as a team. We're probably going to have a new manager next season, and I'm okay with that. But I want your thoughts on how the Braves look and how they're finishing, not mailing it in, and I'll take it off the air. Have a good one.
Appreciate you, Ted. 654-ROAR is the number. And, yeah, we'll do a little mini-segment here on the Braves. First and foremost, Matt Olson leads Major League first baseman in pretty much every category known to man right now, including but not limited to F-WAR, baseball reference WAR. He's going to walk in his sleep to his third Gold Glove and his first National League Gold Glove. He should have won a National League Gold Glove a couple years ago, but again, that's a very media-centric award, and narratives oftentimes like trump the stats when it comes to that. So I'm hoping he can get Gold Glove number three, because he got two when he was out in Oakland, and I always love watching him play out there. But yeah, man, you know, here's the thing with Olson. Again, this is my second favorite player on the team. I'm a big Acuna and Olson guy. Those are my guys, and y'all know that. Olson was never a vocal leader in Oakland. He wasn't. I watched all those games up on the West Coast, staying up till 1 in the morning for all those Oakland teams that were so good back in the day. Him and Murphy were never vocal leaders, and Oakland had more of like a team leadership vibe with Matt Chapman, who wasn't a very vocal dude either, and Mark Canna, who wasn't a very vocal dude either. It was more of a leadership by committee vibe in Oakland. So I think when Olson came over, filling the shoes of Freddie Freeman, who's a first ballot Hall of Famer, right? That's a big deal, and especially for a guy that's from Atlanta, went to Parkview High School like Matt Olson did, I think there's a lot of pressure that he put on himself bursting onto the scene. We all remember the great 2023 season, but narratives, noise, media, etc., all that can get to somebody, and I think Matt Olson, like this stretch lately, is he can just kind of relax and play baseball, man. I mean, this is a really, really great player that Atlanta's got holding down first base for him. We got a text in about, you know, a couple things Ted also got in on, which was essentially asking us to break down what the Braves are going to do for the next season. In the next segment, you guys give your thoughts about the future decisions for the Braves, especially regarding Ha-Sung Kim, Ozzie Albies, Marcelo Zuna, and Brian Snitker. So we'll go in order. First and foremost, Ha-Sung Kim's been great. Ha-Sung Kim's been great in a Braves jersey. Now, $16 million is a pretty penny, especially for a shortstop, but I think we can all agree he's better than Nick Allen, and he provides you that value at the plate that you've been looking for. Nobody's happier with the Ha-Sung Kim edition than Chad the Mailman. I can guarantee you that.
Is his glove as good?
I haven't gotten no, it's not as good, but I haven't gotten tweeted out about Nick Allen in about 2 months, and you know what? I'd like to keep it that way. So, I'm for Ha-Sung Kim. I think you should probably just pay that option.
I don't know. I'm all for Chad's scheduled tweets.
Yeah, I think that's more than fair. And I got to say as well, I've had a little bit of a turnaround on my opinion on Ozzie Albies just because of what the buyout figure looks like. For example, it's going to cost $7 million to retain him, but you're going to have to pay him $4 million to hit the road. Are you going to do better than Ozzie Albies for that dollar sign? I know he hasn't been great this year, and I've been very critical of him because it's been deserved, but he's had a little bit of a resurgence to a certain degree in the second half. We know he's a locker room guy. He's Ronald Acuna Jr.'s best friend. He's a lifer, meaning you brought him up through your organization, and you would like to stick with those guys. I think your middle infield next year is in a good spot if you're going with Ha-Sung Kim and you're going with Ozzie Albies, and that's only going to put you out for $23 million between the tandem. So I don't think that's some elite middle infield that's pushing you over the hump, but I think you're league average to slightly above instead of below average, which is what you were this season. And then you're just going to bank on the fact that Riley can have a turnaround because he's on a big contract and he's not going anywhere. Olson's a great player at first base, arguably the best in the league. You got a great catcher tandem. I mean, can we talk about Drake Baldwin? Goodness gracious, what a player he is. Second best two-strike hitter in Major League Baseball this year, John, Drake Baldwin. And he's doing it as a rookie. Hitting almost 250 in two strike counts is unheard of. So you're in a good position in the outfield with Money Mike having a little bit of a resurgence. Ronald Acuna Jr. Now, this is the one that I'm conflicted on. Do the Braves make an effort to try and re-sign Marcelo Zuna this offseason to be the DH? Because
they shouldn't.
I don't think that they should. He has had a decent second half, but he's aging. You got the injury concerns. Again, he's pigeonholed to one position, which is my biggest problem with Ozuna. Because that really limited some of your lineup versatility throughout the course of the season. And to defend Brian Snitker for a second, I've been critical because, again, I think it's deserved. He did kind of get handcuffed by Alex Anthopoulos with what he could do with his lineup on a night-to-night basis with the fact that Ozuna couldn't play in an outfield spot. So, in an ideal world, I would like for my DH to have enough positional versatility to where you can plug and play if need be, because at some point in time, someone's going to get injured, and you're going to have to shift things around. So I'm a little more conflicted on Ozuna. If he wants to come back on a team-friendly deal and sign up to be more of a platoon option, I would 100% love that, because the locker room loves him, the clubhouse loves him, Atlanta loves him. It's just, it's interesting. It's interesting. I'm more in support of a Murphy-Baldwin kind of platoon where one of those guys is DHing and then you just roster the third catcher, right? I think that's where logic leads me for next year for the Braves lineup card, but it just depends on what dollar sign Ozuna is commanding in free agency. I think there is a figure that he's worth keeping him at. I just don't think that's anywhere in excess of $10 million a year. So that's where I'm at on Ozuna.
I just feel like with the year the Braves have had, if you're going to move on from the manager, it would probably be a good time to change some of the personnel.
I agree.
We spent so much time this spring and summer complaining about the personnel and the trades that needed to be made and things like that. I would, to me, if you brought back everything and don't, I mean, because the way you just kind of went through the lineup, like if everybody gets brought back, then what's different?
Yeah.
What is going to change for next year? Other than you hope that not every starting pitcher is out for the year. That's what worries me. As a non-Braves fan who has to talk about the Braves.
Yeah.
Is that you go through the offseason, you don't change anything, bring everybody back, and then we're in the middle of May next year and be like, well, why did we do anything? What happened? Why didn't you make any changes? But it was all hunky-dory. Now moving forward, I think he uses an opportunity to let Ozuna walk. I think the complications he showed you around the trade deadline showed you it's time to go, man.
Yeah.
Like some of these bigger contracts, like I understand, unless he says like, hey, I'll play for $750,000 next year or something ridiculously low like that. It's time to move on and give other opportunities.
Yeah.
I think you need to use what trade candidates you do have and use this as an opportunity under the genius that is Alex Anthopoulos with a new manager. And I'm being serious. Like if he's going to be touted as one of the best in the business, he uses this as an opportunity to reset. You didn't crater this year, but you now have an opportunity to flip some pieces and really improve this roster. I think by trotting everybody back 1 year older, which is changing the manager, I don't think is going to get the results that Braves fans want to have next year.
Yeah, and it's weird, man. It's weird.
You have to part with players that you've liked,
yeah,
in order to maybe get a team that you'll love.
Exactly, and that's you need a more complete team is kind of where I'm at. You need a more well-rounded team, because the issue that you encountered when you were down in the dumps this season was if Matt Olson or Ronald Acuña Jr. weren't getting extra base hits, you weren't scoring. Like, it was literally as simple as that. So you need more protection for those guys. You need more support for those guys. It's as simple as that. 654 Roar. If you want to check in, Texter says, I'm excited about Hurston Waldrop moving forward, to which I responded and said, he's a war daddy, because he is. And I saw somebody on Twitter, I wish I could give credit, but I didn't bookmark it. Saw somebody on Twitter say something along the lines of, you learn a lot about a young pitcher when they're struggling and clearly struggling. I think Waldrop has struggled a little bit with his command the last couple starts, and he's still finding a way to fight and battle and get outs. I mean, for a 22, 23-year-old guy, and this is his first real extended action on the scene, he has done a really good job of just managing the adversity that's hit him this year, right? When innings look like they're going to snowball and get out of control, he's been able to wiggle out of it. When he's walking a couple guys in an inning and his command's starting to slip, he's able to get a ground ball to get double plays. Like, he's got veteran traits already, and I think the sky's the limit for that kid with the way he throws the splitter. So I'm really just excited to watch him continue to progress and develop. Texter gets in and says the Braves need to move on from Murphy. He's a 200 hitter, laughable for what he's getting paid. They should have traded him when his stock was high. He's also always hurt. It's time to move on. I differ in that opinion, but I do think that Sean Murphy's been very disappointing at the plate this year. And you guys know I like Murphy. He needs to be better offensively, and you're also correct about the availability. So maybe that's something Alex Anthopoulos wants to explore this offseason, right? Maybe what we're not acknowledging here is maybe they want to go with Baldwin as your full-time catcher moving forward, and maybe they bring back a guy like Ozuna on a cheaper deal to DH, right? And then you get the lefty-righty balance there, and maybe you go trade Murphy and try and get middle infield support or corner outfield support. There's a lot of different options for the Braves to attack this offseason, and John, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think having options in the Braves case is a good thing, and having some flexibility with these contracts is a good thing as well. So I'm interested to see how everything shakes out. It also doesn't really help you that Spencer Strider is kicking in his new extension next year, and he'll be paying $20 million instead of four. So you got to take account for that, too, with the finances. Next hour of the program, we'll be talking NFL and college football right after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT-AM 15.